I made a statement Sunday morning, titled my message, and God has sat down on me. And I'm going to stay with it for until he tells me to leave it. But I'm going to refer back every time to Acts chapter number 27, and we're going to read verse 25, and then we're going to go from there. But God sat down on me, and after Sunday morning, I've spoke with some folks, and man, the Lord just blessed in a mighty way. And I want to preach tonight. Sunday morning it was, for I believe God. And I want to go through the Bible and show you people that believed God and why they believed God, for I believe God. Tonight there's going to be things come your way. There's going to be things come your way that you can't do nothing about. There's going to be things that come right at you, and you're going to have to take it on, and you're going to have the mindset and attitude, for I believe God. No matter what comes, I believe God sent it. I believe God allowed it. Anything that comes to your life, good, bad, ugly, it doesn't matter. Whatever comes to your life has come through the hands of God. He is the creator of everything. You say, he created bad. No, he did not create. Listen to me. He did not create bad. But when bad comes your way, he's seen it coming before it ever got to you. Amen? So he's there with you, helping you, leading you, guiding you, no matter what goes on in your life. So I've got to believe that tonight. When something bad comes my way, I got to know God done knows I can handle it through the blood of Jesus. I take that and I run with it in my life. Acts chapter number, if you would tonight, 27. And we're going to read verse number 25. But our text that we're going to preach out of is going to be Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. So if you have a copy of God's Word, we'll be in the book of Acts. Then I want to go right back to Jeremiah 20 and verse number 9. I believe it would do us good to know that we believe God and His Word. Tonight, if you have a copy of God's Word, I ask you to stand. Acts 27 tonight, verse number 25. Then we'll go to Jeremiah 20, verse number 9. Guys, y'all got that on the screen for me tonight? Amen. If you found your place in the book of Acts, can I hear an amen? Amen. And the Bible says, wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. In Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse number 9, the Bible says, Jeremiah says, I will not make mention of him, nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire, shut up in my bones, and I was weary with forbearing, and I could not stay. Our Father and our God, as we bow in your presence tonight, Father, I thank you for the statement in the Bible that says, I believe God. Lord, I pray as a born-again believer tonight that no matter what comes my way, that you've got my best interest in your hands tonight, Father. You've not come to hurt me, but you've come to help me. You've not come to hinder me, but help me through this walk of life. And Lord, whoever I'm talking to tonight, I pray that they just understand tonight that, Father, I believe that you're in control of everything that goes on. And Lord God, you're on the throne tonight. And Father, there's going to come a day that you're going to come back and you're going to rapture the church out of this mess that we're in, and you're going to have us seated high with you. Father, I love you. Be with all the prayer requests tonight. Watch over them. Bless them tonight. Lord, the ones that was unspoken, bless them all over the house tonight. Father, the ones that has all kind of reports, has been sent home on hospice, Lord God, tonight, the ones that are in the hospitals, Lord, I pray you touch them in a mighty way. For the one that got saved tonight, Father, I thank you for her. I pray tonight that you touch her life in a mighty way, Lord God. And I pray tonight you have your will and way. And when we leave here, we can leave with an attitude of saying, I believe God. I ask it all in Jesus' most holy, precious name. And all of God's people say it. Amen. You may be seated tonight. As we come tonight, I want to just break this down tonight. We're going to use some words that we used last week, but it's true about believing God. Tonight as we come, we see in the text in Jeremiah chapter number 20 and verse number 9, Jeremiah was the weeping prophet. And he had came, and I'm telling you, he was telling them that they needed to repent and they needed to get right. And all the way through, you know, in verse number 8 of Jeremiah 20, it says, for since I spake, I cried out, I cried violence and spoil, because the word of the Lord was made a reproach unto me and a derision daily. He said daily I was getting laughed at, mocked at, scorned at for the word of God. He said, but I believe God and what his word can do. And tonight as your pastor, I stand on what the word of God can do. Tonight, Jeremiah said, for I believe God and his word. Jeremiah said that his word, God's word, was in his heart and bones like a burning fire. He says when the word of God gets down in a man, I'm talking about down into the core of that individual. individual, down into the bone, down into the marrow, down into the fiber of that individual. I want you to know there is no way under God's green earth that that can ever leave out of that man's heart. He said his word will not return unto him void. It'll get down into the marrow, down into the clay. It'll get down burning deep inside. And when a man gets down in a man like that, it will change him and it will challenge him not to quit but to stand on the night. And you can leave here and say, I believe God and I believe his word. If you don't believe this word, you don't believe God. Amen. Amen. This is the written word tonight. If I don't, well, preacher, I don't believe some of this book. Well, you don't believe God at all. You got to believe this entire book from cover to cover. That's what it is tonight. When you hold this Bible, you're holding God in your hand. It's the inspired word of God, indestructible, inexhaustible word tonight. And it'll get down into the core of a person. And you say, preacher, what does that word do? Number one tonight, his word will guide you. Look in the text here. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said, then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name. He said, but his word was in my heart. He said his word was deep down inside of me and it guides me. You say, preacher, well, what kind of word is it that it would guide you tonight? I say tonight, I don't want the Bible. I don't want to mark my Bible up and get a highlighter and mark this preacher's name that he preached this message on this Sunday. I don't want to mark my Bible and my Bible not mark me. Can I get an amen? Hey, if all you do is mark your Bible and your Bible don't never mark you, you're going to be miserable in the walk that you walk. Hey, but tonight he says this, that the word of God, it'll guide an individual. You say, preacher, how can that do that? Because it's a powerful word. When we lose heart, that power of the word of God. Oh, Jeremiah, he had lost heart. He didn't even want to mention the word of God. He didn't even want to speak the word of God. But the word of God is what guided him and led him along life's way. I see it was a powerful word, but I see it was a protecting word. That word of God is not only powerful, but it'll protect an individual. It'll be in that person's life when we want to quit and we want to get out and we want to get up. For I believe God and his word, it is powerful. I believe his word is protecting. Hey, but I also believe this tonight, that the word of God is preventing you and I from making a major mistake. Can you imagine every time you read that Bible and you was going to do something that you didn't need to do and it would be detrimental to your family and it would ruin your testimony and it would give a scar on the local body church? And you say, preacher, what kept me from doing that? It was the word of God that was planted deep down in your heart. You don't know when it was planted. You don't know how it was planted. But I can say to you tonight, when that powerful word comes upon you, it is planted by the Holy Ghost of heaven around our swimming pool up there at the house. We got a hosta, I believe it is, and that hosta's growing around it. And every one of them things of the above ground pool, there's a metal rod that goes up and down, and I think it's about 10 of them. And I planted them all around that pool. Every one I planted hosta, and every year, you know what? I don't have to go back and plant them again. They come up every year. Hey, but there's one thing I can take you to my house, and I can show you this. Hey, the side that the sun sets on the most, you know what? Them things, they're growing. I'm talking about they're high and they're bushed out. But you get on the side where the sun ain't hitting it very much, hey, I want you to know they're about that tall. They ain't got much growth in them. They ain't got much on them. Why? Because the sun is not shining down on them. Hey, this afternoon, if you feel like you're not growing in Jesus, get into the word of God. It'll guide you. It'll grow you tonight. It'll make things come alive in your life. Don't expect to grow if you ain't in the Bible tonight. Amen. This is the seed that we want to grow. You say, preacher, what are you talking about tonight? Turn with me, if you hold your place, to Job chapter number 32 and verse number 18 tonight. I want to show you what Job said here. In Job chapter number 32 and verse number 18, what the Spirit of God does in his word. For I believe God tonight and what he does in my life. He's powerful, he's protecting, and he prevents me from messing up. Look what he says in Job 32 in verse number 18, what Job said here. You know, Job had went through a lot of things, and he had every right to blow up. He had every right to go sideways. He had every right to get even, but he didn't do that. You know what he did? He relied on the word of God. Job 32 and 18, it says this, for I am full of matter. The spirit within me, what does it do? It constraineth me. And tonight you say, preacher, what does that do? And he says that I'm full of matter and the spirit within me, it constraineth me. Job is saying, I'm about to blow up. I'm about to blow up. Hey, when you say, I believe God, it'll keep you from blowing up. Have you ever come to the point you about blowed up on somebody? Boy, there's a few truth tellers in here, amen. If you ain't never got to the point you about ready to blow up, hey, you're going to get there. And you say, what kept me from, man, used to, I'd fly off the handle anywhere. I'd just get mad and fly off the handle, and then I'd ask Brandy, why'd I get mad? You ever done that? You just stay mad all the time. But now since I've been saved and the years has waxed on and they've got longer, I don't blow up the way I used to. Why? Because there's the Word of God and the Spirit of God. It constraineth me. It's got a hold on me. Look at this tonight. He says, Job is saying, I'm about to blow up, but the Spirit, what does that Spirit do when it guides you? Number one, it'll hold you back from doing something that you don't need to do. Hey, Jeremiah said, I was going to quit. I was going to get out. I was through with the ministry. But you know what? The Word of God would not allow him. Tonight, anybody that can drop the Word of God and walk out the back door and never go back to the local body church, never go back to the house of God, never go back to where God is and walk out on him and turn their back on God, I want you to know tonight that is a miserable individual tonight. The Bible says that that Spirit of God, it'll constrain you, it holds you back, but it keeps you in check tonight. It is the Spirit of God that'll hold you back, and it's the Spirit of God that'll keep you in check. I see number one tonight, his Word will guide you. Tonight, ain't you glad you're guided by the Word of God? For I believe God is my guide tonight. Whoa, glory. I believe God's my guide tonight. Number two, his Word will guard you. For I believe God. Not only is he my guide, but he's my guard. Amen? He's my guard tonight. Look what he says here in the text, if you will. Then I said, I will not make mention of him nor speak any more in his name, but his word was in my heart as a burning fire shut up in my bones. It was locked up inside of him. It was deep down inside of him tonight. To guard your heart tonight, that's what he said the Word of God will do. It'll guard your heart. Psalm 119:11, the Bible says, thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Tonight, if you have a problem with some old habit, put the Word of God in. Amen? Every time you get ready to do that old habit, every time you get ready to gossip, every time you get ready to backbite, every time you get ready to drink, every time you get ready to drug, every time you get ready to blow up, every time you get ready to fly off the handle, put the Word of God where that's going to show up. And I promise you tonight, it'll be a whole lot better in your life. Amen? He says tonight, his word will guard you because it'll get down into your heart and down into your bones. Number one, it'll guard your heart. And number two, it'll guard you from hateful attacks. The word of God will guard you from hateful attacks tonight. Did you know that? The word of God will guard you from hateful attacks. Me and my wife, we was in Amory, Mississippi this past week. And this man, I pulled up and I rode down the window and I went to talk to him. And when I went to talk to him, he just started letting into cussing. I didn't know the man, but I wanted to talk to him. And he just let into cussing. And before I could say anything, I was blown away a little bit. And I looked over there at him and I was listening. And my wife said, well, I hope you have a blessed day. The Word of God said that vengeance is mine, saith the Lord. Man, that man went blank. His eyes went wide-eyed. I went blank. My eyes went wide-eyed. I said, thank God, amen, for the Word of God. It'll guard you. It'll guide you. And it'll put somebody in your life to help you along life's way. Amen. You said, preacher, you think the Spirit will do that? Do you think the Spirit will keep me from blowing up? Do you think the Spirit will keep me from acting crazy? If you'll let it. He speaks to you. He talks to you. If he don't, you're in trouble. You said, preacher, I ain't never heard God speak to me. Oh, yes, you have. If you're saved, you have. You heard that Holy Ghost knocking on your heart's door. He don't just knock for salvation. He knocks for service. He knocks for surrender. He knocks for sanctification in your life. He wants you to walk that way that he's walking. Amen? Let me show you this tonight. Not only will it hold you back from doing something you regret. Have you ever was going to do something that you knew you was going to regret and the Holy Spirit didn't let you, and later on down the road, thank you, Jesus. I told my wife, I said, I'm going to let so-and-so have it. Don't just sit there like y'all don't know what I'm talking about. I'm sitting there like, he's crazy. I'm just let so-and-so have it. When I see so-and-so, they've had it. And when I seen so-and-so, I done got over my fit. Glory to God. Well, you just didn't run into them. Oh, no. The Spirit didn't let me get around them. What would it have done if I would have done that? It would have hurt my testimony. It would hurt the Word. Amen? It would have hurt the Word. I wouldn't have let the Holy Spirit guide me, and I wouldn't let it guard me. But tonight, I want to show you this in the book of Acts. We'll go right back there and look. Tonight, we see that it constrains you and it holds you, but it keeps you away from harmful attacks on your life. Turn with me, if you will, tonight to Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 5 as you hold your place. Tonight, that Spirit, well, I promise you tonight, it'll guide and it'll guard you tonight in the way that you need to go. Look with me tonight to Acts chapter number 18 and verse number 5, if you would tonight. I see that Job understood that he was full of matter and it was the Spirit that held him from messing up. But I see tonight that Apostle Paul understood the same thing tonight about the Spirit and by what it does in a person's life. It'll guard you as well. Look with me, if you will, here against hateful attacks. Acts 18 and 5, the Bible says, "And when Silas and Timotheus were come from Macedonia, Paul was what? Pressed." He was pressed in the Spirit. Preacher, do you think the Spirit can press you down? I guarantee it can. It's bigger than you and it's bigger than me. And if you're a child of God tonight, he'll put a press on you. He'll press you now. He'll put you in a place. I'll never forget, I've got a preacher friend. He's dead and gone now, though. But he said he was at a church, and there was a lot going on, and he was going to let them have it. And said he woke up, and for 4 weeks he had laryngitis, and he couldn't speak. Had to get somebody to fill in for 4 weeks in a row because the Lord didn't want him to hurt his ministry at that local body. Tonight I want to give you this, if you'll look at me in Acts 18:5. "And when Silas and Timotheus will come from Macedonia, I believe God that he'll keep me from messing up." Paul was pressed in the Spirit and testified to the Jews that Jesus was Christ. He said, what does that pressing on you do, preacher? That Spirit of God, it'll mash a person. It'll get on him and it'll mash him. Have you ever been under such a load and nothing going on, nothing wrong but the Spirit of God? You know you're not doing what's right and he's mashing down on you. He's got his thumb on you just mashing you. Have you ever been there? He said, not only will he mash you, but he'll urge you to do what's right. When he gets mashing you, he's going to urge you to do what's right. And he'll keep you under pressure until you do what you're supposed to do. And listen to me tonight. I believe in eternal security. I believe that tonight. But I don't believe for 1 minute tonight, and I pray this is recorded, I pray everybody hears it. I don't believe 1 minute, though, somebody that's saved can get out there and live like they want to and do what they want to and act like they want to, live like they want to, act like they ain't got a care in the world, and the Spirit of God not pressing on them. If you can do what you want to do, live the way you want to do, act the way you want to act, do whatever you want to do, ain't nobody's business, you better make sure the Spirit of God lives inside of you. Paul said he was pressed in the Spirit. That finger was on him and it was pushing on him to do what was right. Job said he was constrained by that same Spirit. So tonight I believe God to guide me, but I believe God will guard me as well. He won't allow me to do just anything I want to do tonight. And I tell people all the time, they say, preacher, can you do this, can you do that? And I have to tell them my anointing won't let me. What is that anointing? That anointing is the Holy Ghost. The Holy Ghost won't let me. It may make you happy that if I give in to you, but I got somebody else I'm looking to. And I can do what you want me to do and please you here, and I'll be in turmoil when I get home. Have you ever been there? You knew not to do that. Here's what Jeremiah said. He said it was in my bones. I can't do it no more. I can't go that way. I can't live that way anymore. I listened to Phil Robertson the other night on YouTube, and he said that when he got saved, he said that those boys, they used to go and they used to sleep around. They used to drink. They used to have a good time. And he said that he got saved. Phil Robertson in that YouTube video said he got saved. And said when he got saved, them old buddies that would come to his house, he told them when they come up one day, he said, y'all got to go. You got to leave. You got to get out of here. Why? He said, because I've been born again. I've been saved. You got to go. And he said he run every one of them off and every one of them left. And never one of them come back to his house. But 12 years later, one of his best friends that he run off because I'm not living that way no more, said he called him up. And he said, have you heard? He said, I ain't heard nothing. He said, the doctor's not giving me long to live. He said, where you at? He said, I'm in Arkansas. He said he left Louisiana, drove all the way to Arkansas. He said the Spirit was guiding him all the way up there. When he got up there, that guy said, I want to know about the change in your life. How did you change? How was there a change in there? How are you different? And I can see it all over you. Tell me, I want to know. And he said, I told him about Jesus Christ, how that you can repent, ask Jesus to come into your life. He'll save you, cleanse you, make you new. And when he said that, I knew that sermon was dead on the morning. He will guide you and he'll guard you along your life. He said his buddy right then asked Jesus to come into his life. He said they asked him to come back and preach the funeral. He said, I don't have no suit because I don't wear suits. I have the old long beard. You know who I'm talking about. And they said, oh, he requested you to come just as you are. Friends, tonight, can I say that Jesus Christ, he don't want you to dress up. He wants you to come just like you are and say, for I believe God. I believe he's going to guide me. I believe he's going to guard me no matter what happens in this world. And he said, you know what about my buddy? He got in by that right there, that close. He was that close to not getting in, but he got in. Friends, tonight, can I say to you that when you get in, you're in. Amen? He said he got in. So tonight, I want to share this with you that the Spirit, number one, it'll guide you. Number two, it'll guard you. But I want to show you the third thing that really just does me good. For I believe God and His Word, and I let it guide me. I believe God and His Word, and I let it guard me. I believe God and His Word, and I wrote this down, and His Word is the best friend I know to me. His Word will be a good friend to you. His Word will be a good friend to you. A friend will tell you what you want to hear. Have you ever been around a friend and every time you ask them a question, they always told you what you was thinking? They never went against you. They never thought you was wrong. They never thought you was in the wrong. You ever been around somebody like that? And you say, that's my best friend. But they always tell you what you want to hear. They always tell you that you're right. You're never in the wrong. Oh, I'm telling you what, I'd let them know about it right now. I'd let them know right now. But then you got that one person in your life. Can I get a witness? That tells you the truth, even when you don't want to know the truth. I told him this the other night at revival. If you love me, get in my face. Somebody that don't love, you say, well, they love me. If they don't care what you do, they don't love much about you. My wife over here, I want you to know she'll get in my face. And there's been times in my life, we've been supposed to be married 23 years. Gotcha, 23. Supposed to be married 23 years. The first 5, 6, 10, I don't know. Man, I thought she was against me, Brother Joy Barnes. Man, it was a fight. I wanted to go out and do my thing. Y'all get what I'm saying? I want to leave her at home, let you take care of the kids. I'm going out with the guys. We're going to do our thing. And boy, she'd let in. And it'd be war. But after I got the Holy Ghost inside of me and was born again by the blood of Jesus Christ, there ain't no fight no more. She was already saved. Now I'm saved. There's no struggle there no more. There's no fight there no more. There's none of that. No, he said, preacher, y'all don't never get in a fuss fight. Oh, yeah, we get in arguments. She knows when she's wrong. I mean, you know. We get in arguments. Brother Harold, don't give me an amen, whatever you do. Y'all know I like to cut up and kid. But God placed her in my life. And she's one of the best friends I got. Because she tells me like it is. It don't matter if it hurts my feelings. It doesn't matter how it does. We was going the other night to revival to preach. And I was struggling between two messages. And I was struggling between two, trying to discern which one to preach, which one not to preach, just discerning. And she had no idea. We were riding up I-22 going, and she said a word. And it was exactly one of the messages that the Lord laid on my heart. And she spoke it identical to what I was battling. Which way do I go? Do I go with this one? They won't try to hurt you. They'll help you. The Word of God will not try to hurt you. They'll help you. Let me show you this tonight. Let me show you this. His Word will be a good friend to you. And here's what Jeremiah said. But His Word was in my heart. It's a burning fire shut up in my bones. And I was weary with forbearing. And I could not stay. What does the Word do tonight? It'll friend you in your valley. When you're in the valley of life and you don't know where to turn, turn to that book. Don't turn away from that book when it gets hard. Turn to that book. He'll friend you in the valley. He'll heal the brokenhearted. He'll friend you in the battle. He'll deliver the captive. And He'll friend you in the fire. He gives liberty to those that are bruised. Today I was sitting at home and say, for I believe God and His Word. In 2014, June the 22nd, 2014, we had left on that Saturday on the 21st, going on our first mission trip as Brick Masons for the Master. Miss Judy and Brother Jerry was there, and we was heading up the highway. We got up there on June the 22nd. We went into Pleasant Hill Baptist Church. Went into town that night before, though, when we went in. I said, there'll be something there. We'll get something to eat. There'll be something there. As a good leader, a good pastor of a church, don't worry. There'll be a McDonald's there. We pulled into a one-horse town. You hear me? And the horse had done left. Talking about For I Believe God, we pulled into that town, Brother Lee Markham, you testified every bit of this. We pulled into that town, and we asked the pastor, said, where's the quickest place to eat? And he said, 25 minutes that way, and you're just going to get something. You ain't going to get nothing good. And we said, oh, my goodness. We went back to the town, and they had a little old, like, Jackrabbit Slims there. We walked in, and we asked the guy behind the thing, he said, can you cook us about 100 chicken fingers? He looked at us like, man, this town ain't got 100 people in it. You want 100 chicken fingers? He said, I've done cut the grills off, the fryers off tonight, and we're not going to fry nothing. I said, oh, my goodness. He said, we won't fry nothing tonight. I walked out, and this old man sitting on the front, sitting there, me and Brother Kevin, had pulled out there in the van. He was just sitting there looking around, and he said,
preacher, you got a problem, man, you got a problem. I said, yeah. I said, man, we ain't got nothing to eat. He said, well, I've been selling steak sandwiches, and I got about six little old ribeyes left. And there's about that long, six little old ribeyes. And I said, that'll work. Can we buy them off of you? He said, no, you can have them. I said, I'll tell you what, he said, just make sure you get my pan back, whatever you do. That's a high-dollar pan, and I got to have it back. I said, I'm going to be preaching right across the road in the morning. If you'll come over there in the morning, I'll give you your pan back. What a deal. Amen. He said, I don't go to church over there. I said, I don't either. He said, I've never been in over there. I said, I ain't either. He said, I'll be a visitor. I said, I'm going to be one too in the morning. We went in, we bought about five or six loaves of bread. We went back, and the women took their time. They laid them steak out. They cut them steak. They put mayonnaise on there. Made everyone, there's about 70 on that trip, made everybody on that trip a steak sandwich. We're looking for chicken. God's putting steak on the table. Just saying. We get up the next morning. We're getting ready for church. We get to church. I had pocket crosses on me, and I wanted to pass a pocket cross out to everybody there. I had nothing to put it in but one thing. That pan. Filled them pocket crosses in that pan, passed them around that church. That man was there that morning. He got under conviction, tears flowing down his face. 3 to 4 weeks later, he gave his life to Jesus. Praise God. That morning, for I believe God will guide you where you need to go. He'll guard you where you get there, and he'll let the Word of God be the best friend you've ever had. That morning, at that service, preach the gospel. Preach the gospel. A brother and two sisters walked me out. Nothing about me, nothing about our mission team, all about God. They walked me out. First time they'd ever been to church there, they walked me out and gave their life to Jesus that morning. Born again, we pull in on Saturday. On Sunday, they got saved by the power of the Holy Ghost because we believe God. I don't know where my faith has went here lately, but I want to get back there. Just saying. They got born again on the blood of Jesus Christ. That Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, they ate every meal with us. They sat at every table we sat out there in the school, dining, for I believe God, they sat there, they ate with us every meal. When we left, they hugged their necks, they was crying. They said, man, we've never seen this kind of love ever. Man, y'all loved us, y'all took us in. Man, and it's just great times. We went back a couple years later, got to go back, went to their house, knocked on the door, visited with them, went to the church, had service with them, and then today, Brother Don Hannell called me, and he said, you remember Kay? I said, yeah. He said, 2014, she got saved. He said, yeah. He said, well, today's her funeral. I said, really? Yep, today's her funeral. He said, and the guy's name is Boots. That's his name. Boots McDonald. Kay McDonald and Regina McDonald. And he said, they would really like for you to write something that we can read at the funeral, if you don't mind. I know it's short notice, but can you write anything? I said, man, I sure can. Ain't no problem. I'll send it to you. You read it at the funeral. For I believe God. I hadn't seen them people in a long time, but I believe God. I believe for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourself, but it is a gift of God. Nobody in this room, when you get to heaven, you ain't got nothing to boast about. Everybody understand that? You won't get to heaven and be boasting. Hey, I made it. Look what I've done. No. If it's on what you've done, you're in the wrong place. You'll be in flames. For by grace are you saved through faith, that unto yourself, but it is a gift of God. I believe God because he guides me, he guards me, and he's the best friend I've ever had. I wrote it out, texted it back to him, put that down. For by grace are you saved through faith, that unto yourself, but it is a gift of God. Send it back. He said, the funeral's over and Boots won't talk to you. Here's his number. Give him a call. I hadn't seen that guy in years. And when he answered the phone, it's like we'd never left one another. We was right there talking on the phone. And he could verbatim, word for word, tell you what happened on June the 22nd, 2014. He told me the sermon that was preached. I don't even remember the sermon that was preached. But it meant something to him. The Holy Ghost. I believe what? The Word. The Holy Ghost took that Word. Amen? It guided that man to that altar. It guarded him. And in the valley of life today, it was the best friend he ever had. We're all going to go through valleys. We're all going to go through times in our life. Jeremiah, weeping prophet. You remember what they told Jesus? Jesus said, who do men say that I am? Because some says you're John the Baptist. Some says Elijah. And some said you're Jeremiah. Jesus even, in Jeremiah, was that close. They was that close. God and Jeremiah was right on the same page. But even Jeremiah got in the dumps. But he said, I couldn't stay there. And I don't want to tell you this. If you're in the dumps, remember, you can't stay there. If you're in despair, remember, you can't stay there. If you preacher's doom and gloom, you can't stay there. A child of God can't stay there. You can get there, but you can't stay there. Why? Because I believe God's word. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. Let me give you this in closing tonight. I love this tonight. His word will be a good friend to you. Look in verse 10. Jeremiah said, for I heard the defaming of many, fear on every side. Report, say they, and we will report it. All my familiars watch for my halting, saying, peradventure, he will entice them. We shall prevail against him, and we shall take our revenge on him. Verse number 11. But here's what Jeremiah said. But the Lord is with me. As a mighty, terrible one. That word terrible would mean this. A mighty, awesome one. Boy, ain't he awesome in what he does. How he guards, how he guides, and how he's the best friend you've ever had. Man. They shall be greatly ashamed, for they shall not prosper. Their everlasting confusion shall never be forgotten. God knows who you are, even when you don't. I want to share this in closing, what Kim Robinson shared with us. Little Gunner Weber. He's this big, and he's a pistol, buddy. He's this big, and he is a pistol. The other night, I went down to his house. He raised the window up, and he said, is that you out there, Brother BJ? I said, yeah. Next thing I knew, he was in the side-by-side with me. Where'd he come from? But they was teaching. This is where the Word of God gets people. They was in class, and Kim and them was going to teach them John 3:16. They were going to teach them the Bible verse, John 3:16. And she looked at Gunner, and she said, John 3:16? And he said, no, I'm Gunner, and I'm six. The preacher, he don't get it. He will. Why? Because that word will guard you. I can tell you, you've been guarded this week. I don't know what you've been through, but his hand of protection has been on you, and he's guarded you all week long. If it wasn't on you, I'd hate to see where we're at tonight. He's guiding you. And he's the best friend you've ever had. Tonight, my prayer is this church, and I'm going to stay on this for I don't know how long, but I'm going to stay on for I believe God. That's going to get me where I need to be, and that's going to get you where you need to be. I don't know what's going to happen tomorrow, but I believe God. I don't know what I was going to go on, Brother Harold, but I believe God. Amen? We've believed him this far. Let's just believe him all the way out. Amen? Father, I love you, and I thank you for this night. I thank you that the kids are fixing to come in. I thank you for the Holy Ghost tonight. I thank you that you're our guard, you're our guide, and you're the best friend that we've ever had. Father, tonight I believe you for everything in my life. Lord, I praise your holy name. When I don't understand, I believe you. When I do understand, I believe you. Lord God, tonight, as little Gunner said tonight, he knows exactly who his name is. Lord God, more than that, you know his name. Lord, tonight in this place, you know my name and you know every name that's in here. I thank you for that tonight. Lord, I pray tonight that whoever is just in a place that they just need to say, I believe God. Lord, I pray we get there tonight. Have your will and way. Watch over us. Keep us safe and keep us out of harm's way. I ask it tonight in Jesus' most holy, precious name. All of God's people say, amen. You are dismissed.